It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand today. We want to start out with some prayer requests. And I'd like you all to pray for my cousin. His name is Brian Buxton. He's in a coma right now. And the doctors say there's no hope. But I know God is a healer. Amen? He's a great God. He's an awesome God. And we're just believing the Lord for to touch him and to raise him up. And also, tomorrow I'm going down to downtown to finalize all the final things for the permits to get this house, these houses tore down. So keep that in prayer. I want to thank you all for all your prayers. I believe it's because of the prayers of God's people that God has opened the doors. Amen, and blessed us and helped us, amen, to get where we're at. And it's amazing this last bout here going around getting things, how helpful we prayed for favor and how helpful they've been. So just continue to pray. I got a few things to get you tomorrow, and we should be tearing these houses down for Friday. Amen? God is a good God. Praise the Lord. So. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Anybody else have a prayer request? Yes. Yes. All right, let's pray for him also. Anybody else? All right. If we could, I would just like to just reach out to the Lord on behalf of my cousin. He's kind of like a brother. My mother and father raised him for a good portion of his life. And so he's, my younger kids, younger brothers and sisters are closer. But he was a member of this church for a good number of years. And he moved down to Columbus after he got married. So we just want God to touch him right now and raise him up. I'd appreciate if we just reach the throne of heaven. And also we'll pray for Anthony and also the housing situation. If we could, just take a few minutes here. And if you want to kneel at your seat, if you want to come up to the altar. But I would just ask you to please, yes. All right, yes. All right, amen. If you would, come on up here. Let's just trust the Lord and believe in God that he will help and bless. Amen. His name is Brian Buxton, Anthony, and also the housing situation. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. We believe and we trust in you, Lord God. Let your will be done. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, you are an awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God, by your strength, we are the Lord. Thank you. Amen. I was watching a message the other day from Jeff Arnold, and he said, he told the church, he said, God told me to tell this church something. It was down in Louisiana because of the times. He said, I was in my room praying, and God said, you tell your people, tell my people, that when they want healing, when they ask God for healing or whatever it may be, you have to see it. Amen? You have to vision it, amen, and say and believe God for that, amen? So I've been asking God, Lord, help me to vision myself healed of diabetes. in a way that is pleasing to God. Amen? And so we have to vision. And I was set with my cousin Brian. I said, God, I'm going to vision him sitting up, thanking God for healing. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name. You tell Anthony to vision himself healed. No more dialysis. Amen? All right, let's receive the offering right now. Folks, let's worship the Lord in giving. Be faithful in your giving. God will bless you. Amen. You can't outgive God. You take care of God's house, he'll take care of your house. Amen? Amen. Let's give unto the Lord here tonight. God, you're so good. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings in our lives. And I just ask, God, that you just bless each one here tonight. Let your will be done. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to continue to talk outside the box. And tonight we want to talk about outside the box friendships. Friendships. Amen. All right. You can be seated. We knew when we started this church that we didn't want to be traditional. Amen. We wanted to just trust in the Lord and believe in God to bless and move and do different things and do different avenues. But our desire was to build a church that without walls or restraints, we would reach its community. We want to advance the kingdom of God globally. Amen. And I believe that we have done great work here and blessed and given and helped and blessed people all over the world. Amen. And that's what it's all about. I believe in missions. I believe in giving to the kingdom of God. So I want to belong, and I pray that you do too, to an out-of-the-box church. Amen? Hallelujah. I've heard people say that, you know, I wish I could get our church outside of the walls. You know, you hear people say that kind of stuff, but it is our desire to do that. And if we have that desire, amen, and that desire will drive you to do things, you'll be able to help us to do what we want to do. So whatever we have to do, we got to do it. Amen? But it takes people saying, I'll commit. Today we are talking about out-of-the-box friendships. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's hard to get friends if you won't be friendly back, right? You ever try to talk to somebody and they just kind of look at you and walk away? Huh? You know, just kind of make something inside of you rise up and say, Holy Ghost, take over. Right? In the world that we live in, folks, good friendships, they're hard to find. And technology is constantly causing our interactions with other people to become less and less authentic. Things like email and texting, Facebook, they allow us to communicate with our friends, but they do not allow us the opportunity to face-to-face conversation and companionship. And while these modern days ways of communicating are convenient, they can never take the place of real people connecting with real people face-to-face. So Paul, in Paul's letters to the church at Philippi, he talks a lot about joy. And it's hard to see a joyful person without friends. It don't happen often. It's hard to see a joyful person when you're texting. Come on. I mean, you don't really know what's going on the other end. You're just seeing what's coming back. And you don't see expression in text and emails and those kind of things. So, you know, we need to understand that a joyful person is somebody that people like to be around. Joyful people make friends. Joyful people are friends to other people. And if you really want to enjoy your life, you will need friends. You will have friends. Paul never intended never intended for us to live an isolated, lonely lives. He did not. Paul was a very joyful man. And one of the reasons for that was because he made friends everywhere he went. Even as he writes from Rome prison cell and closes his letter to the Philippians, He says, he mentions that his friendships both at Rome and at Philippi. In Philippians 4, 21 through 23, he says, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit. Amen. Now, isn't it remarkable? While Paul is under sentence of death, his last words in his letter, they are not, pray for me to get out of this jail. His last words were not, woe is me. But he's sharing greetings from one set of friends to another. That is a sign of a joyful life. Amen? One of the reasons Paul enjoyed life so much is because he made so many friends. And that's a great key to your enjoyment of life as well. So how did Paul do it? How did Paul make friends? How can we make friends? Well, one of the ways that Paul did it was he took the initiative to be friendly. If you want to enjoy friendships with others, you are going to have to take the initiative to make friends. Do you know why a lot of people don't have friends that they so deeply long to have? It's because they won't take the initiative to do it. They're afraid to initiate friendships, maybe because of rejection. But notice what Paul says in verse 21 of Philippians 4, 21. He says, greet all of God's people in Christ. The brothers and sisters who are with me, they send their greetings. Paul and the friends that he made in Rome were initiating greetings. Tell all the believers, that's what he's saying, in Philippi, that I said hello. He's in jail, folks. Tell them all I said hello, my friends. Tell them my friends here in Rome say hello back. And he's also telling the recipients of the letter to take the initiative to greet other people. Okay? Listen, I'm going to do a little pastoring right here, okay? Sunday morning, I was praying for two people. One person came up and prayed with us. Now, that usually doesn't happen around here, but the reason I'm saying this is, folks, we need to continue, and I'm going to keep bringing it before you. I was praying for two young ladies. One other young lady, other than my wife, came up and prayed with them. That shouldn't be. You have to take the initiative. There's a soul. There's somebody we can reach out to. There's a friend. We ought to be, if you're a lady here, you should have been trying to get a phone number. Come on. We have to take the initiative, folks. If we want to see this church grow, we have to take the initiative to be friendly to people. Now, many of you, if we talked about one of the reasons why you came here, I've heard it before, and I would say the love that you felt here. Well, we have to continue to put that out. Okay? And that's why I teach the things like I teach and continue to remind you of the things that we do, because we have to show love. Jesus, you know, one of the greatest examples, folks, there is, I believe, in the Bible is the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man that was hated by the Jews because why? What? Anybody? He was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government. The other Jews didn't like him. All those other priests of the day in the temple all around the Jews there, they never reached out to him. Who did? Jesus. He walked by and he saw him up in that sycamore tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I need to go to your house. I want to eat dinner. He showed love. He showed that compassion. He took that initiative to reach out to Zacchaeus. And because he did, you read down later on, it says, and salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. Now, folks, we got to keep this in mind. Always keep this in mind. That the way God is going to reach the world is through us. We are the body of Christ. He spent his time here on this earth. We are the body. And if it's going to happen, if your co-workers or your neighbors or your family members are going to be saved, it's going to be through us. I heard a message preached years ago. If it is to be, it's up to me. Okay? If you're going to see salvation in your people that you, in your missionary world, it's going to have to be through you. And we have to show initiative. Now, it's easy for us to pull in sometimes and just say, well, I don't want to start that. I don't want to let somebody else. Why? If you're thinking that way, then God's wanting you to go talk to him. And you're telling God no. Amen? Somebody took the time to talk to you. Somebody had enough initiative to reach out to you. Somebody cared enough to reach out to you. Aren't you glad for that? Paul says, take the initiative. Be friendly. So he's telling the recipients of the letter to take that initiative to greet other people. Strong relationships are usually forged through adversity. As with most anything, fire causes things to be tempered and strengthened. Steel becomes hardened only after it has been heated and cooled repeatedly. In the same sense, though, folks, relationships that have endured hardships are most often the strongest of relationships. Some people, one argument and they're done with their friend, so-called friend. You weren't a friend if you're done with them. Friendships go through those kind of things. Amen? The friendships in this room tonight that have the strongest relationships have probably been through a few things together. Friends, folks, friends care about you. Friends will share something they enjoy with you. And they will introduce you to people who can help you. And the reason many of you are here today is because someone thought enough of you that they wanted to share this gospel with you today. They had found something good and they wanted to tell you about it. They had found something that makes sense and they wanted you to hear about it. They found something that helped them. Hey, it can help you also. Amen? And they wanted to share it with you. And you mean something to them. They probably care about you. And they are concerned about you. And they are your friend. Now, there may be somebody here tonight who may go up and tell you something. You know, I saw you do this or I heard about you doing this. You shouldn't do that. Is it your job to get mad at them? Or thank God for a friend that cares enough to tell you? I'm sure it wasn't easy for them to tell you. There's a lot of things about my job I don't like. But I promise you, I do it because I care about you. Right? Most often in church, people become casual friends, though. And we talked about this before when, you know, we started with the small groups. You know, you get the shake the hand and greet one another, and that's the extent of your friendship that week. But you're calling each other friends. I'm talking about deep down, getting to know each other type of friendships. And you say, well, why has it got to be that way, Pastor? Well, these people share an intimate experiences each week as they get together and worship the Lord. But the most often, know very little about each other and what is going on in the other person's lives, what is really happening, what's real. What's going on? Because we're just a handshake kind of friendship. The hardships, the trials the most of us endure throughout the week are too often unknown to the rest of us. And we fail to pray for one another because we do not truly know what it is that so many of us are going through in our families, in our jobs, and in our circumstances. Folks, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Come on. We need to have, that's why we want the small groups, and we ask you to support the small groups, because we need to get to know each other in more ways than just the handshake friendship. Most churches create casual friendships, casual relationships. But here, folks, at Church of Pentecost, we are trying to work hard to create close relationships between each of us. And that would cause us to help and encouragement to develop between one another. And this is why we ask people to get involved in different ministries. This is why we are doing small groups. We don't want just casual relationships here at Church of Pentecost. We don't want just handshakes and smiles alone. We want to develop here at Church of Pentecost genuine, out-of-the-box relationships. Listen, folks, the strongest families are families who have the strongest relationships. Amen? You know, if I was to ask, many of you probably would say, I wish I'd have had a stronger relationship, you know, when I was a kid with my brothers or my sisters or my mom and my dad. And it saddens me to see some people who just throw relationships away. I just went down a week or so ago to my aunt's funeral. And all the family were mad at each other. They hardly even spoke. I was glad that they were civil while we were there, but they left and there was no hugging necks and all that stuff. That was not taking place. And my cousins, as far as I've known, didn't ever walk in the doors of a church. It's too important. If you want strong relationships and friendships and families, you have to fight for it in this day and age. Amen? When my father died, I'm the oldest, so I became that leadership in my family. And I told us all at Thanksgiving, Mom and Dad worked hard for this family. They worked hard to keep us together. And many of you know a lot of my family members. We're very close. But I said, it won't continue unless we fight for it. In this day and age, the enemy wants to destroy family relationships. And if he can get to the families, he can get into the church. But here, we are a family also. Amen? We have to fight for unity. Not everybody here is going to make us happy every day. We're human. We're going to get on each other's nerves. But we got to look at the greater cause. Amen? Amen? David said, is there not a cause? There is a cause, folks, and we have to understand the devil's tactics. He wants to get in here, bring wedges between the relationships in this church. Strongest families are families who have the strongest relationships. You see, what you got to think about is somebody comes in and maybe they say a cross word to you. Instead of getting all upset and mad, which you feel you're justified in doing, you got to say, that's not normally how they are. Maybe they went through something rough today. Maybe I could pray with them or pray for them. And the strongest churches are the churches who have the closest relationships. What I'm asking here tonight, folks, is for each of us to take this to heart and say, I'm going to do everything in my power to make Church of Pentecost the best. I'm going to try to have a close relationship as close as I can with everybody I can. You see, we cannot be an outside-of-the-box church if we all have the casual relationships. So it means maybe get in here a little early. Maybe staying a little bit late. And I understand all the situation behind some of it. But sometimes, folks, we have to take the sacrifice. Amen? A couple people agree with me here. We cannot be that outside of the box church if we have casual relationships. We've got to get to know one another. We have to help one another. And we've got to learn to love one another. Why would I help you if I did not love you? And how can I help you? How can I love you if I do not know you? You know, it's easy to say, I love my brother and sister. Well, we could say, well, I love the people in the world. We could say, I love the people, all the people in Canada. Really? You can say those kind of things, but how do you, you really can't say you love them if you don't know them. You can only really love somebody that you know. And we know, folks, that love, you know, it doesn't just happen. It's something you have to determine you're going to do. In any relationship, you have to determine that you're going to love one another. That's the problem why there's been so much divorce today, because some people don't get what they want, and therefore, well, I'm done. No, you determine you're going to love one another, no matter what you go through. Right? So why would I help you if I do not love you? And how can I love you if I do not know you? A church that has only casual relationships will not reach the community around it. Come on, folks, think about it. If we only have casual relationships, we will not reach our communities. It will not care about the needs of those who look to the church for direction to help if we are just casual relationships. The neighborhood, they won't look to us for the help that they need if they only see casual relationships. They'll look to a church that cares for one another and that helps one another and blesses one another. That's what they're going to look to. Church should be the first place a family thinks of when they are struggling with their relationships. Healing. If they need healing, they should come to the church. Amen? Help in their lives should come from the church. You see, the church in years past, folks, has handed it off to the government. Come on. The church always took care of the people in need. Now, with the welfare systems, let the government do it. And the churches have had the scapegoat. Spiritual guidance should come from the church. You see, it's a shame when the only spiritual guidance many people get come from radio or TV. Church should be the place where families and communities come together to support, encourage, and love one another. You see, a dysfunctional church will create dysfunctional families, and dysfunctional families will create dysfunctional communities. Amen? If you need help, if you need healing, if you need spiritual guidance in the relationship with Jesus Christ, starts in the church. And this is, folks, this is the church of the living God. And he desires to have relationship with you and with me. James 2, verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. What an amazing thing to be called, folks, a friend of God. How does someone become a friend of God? Well, it doesn't happen by staying home from church, I'll tell you that. Come on. Amen. It starts, like any relationship, with the introduction, as it says in John 1, 45, 46, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now, we can change that. Can anything good come out of Cleveland? Come and see. Come on. Come and see. Have you ever heard someone say something like that about a church of God? Come and see. What good is it going to church? Come and see. Why would I want to go there? Come and see. What's so big about God? Oh, come and try him out. Come and see. Amen? Come and see. Now, as hard as you try, you'll never be able to explain to people all that God can do for them. Right? It's hard. You just need to get them to come to church. You just need to get them to come to your small group. You just need to get them to come to your home for friendship. Let them feel the presence of God. The Bible talks about the rivers of living water flowing. Do we have anybody around for them to flow to? Come on. Tell them to come and see. Come over to my house for dinner. I'll give you a dinner, teach you a Bible study. You need to meet my family. Let them walk in and feel the presence of God. You see, we shouldn't have dysfunctional homes as we're Christians. They should be able to walk in and feel the presence of God in your home, because if they feel it there, you can take it to church and they'll feel it there also. Amen? Just need to get them to church. Get them to your house. Let them check it out. Let them see for themselves. You ever heard people say it? I've heard it over the years. Well, if I go to your church, the roof will cave in. Huh? Have you ever seen one fall in? Nah. I've found as many of the people who come here have found that God is and can be an amazing friend to have. And there is a friend, folks, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than any brother. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's there all the time. Amen? He doesn't mind calling you up in the middle of the night. He doesn't mind you calling him and saying, God, I need you. He doesn't mind it at all. He is concerned about your job. God is concerned about your family and the things that concern you. God is concerned about. And he invites us to ask anything of him. Let's stand here tonight. Luke 11:9 says, and it say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and it shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Anything you need, God is there. Sounds like a few good friends I've had in my life that say, hey, Bill, if you need anything, just call. Anything you need, just ask. If I can help in any way, let me help. Jesus says to you and I today, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open to you. He says that. And folks, it's really amazing what kind of friendship that God wants to have with you and me. We may not deserve his friendship. We may not want his friendship. You may not think that you are worthy of his friendship. But Jesus wants to have a relationship with you and I that's outside of the box. Amen? One that is not a casual friendship, one that is not self-serving, and one that helps and encourages and blesses. That's the kind of relationship God wants with you. And he wants that with you, and he wants you to take it to others. Amen? Lord, we love you. God, we appreciate you. We thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, God, that you'll help us apply this to our lives and help us, God, to reach out and be more friendly, Lord, Lord, take that initiative to reach those around us. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here tonight.